This is KUAF, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas, and this is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, September 16th, 2021. From the Carver Center for Public Radio, I'm Kyle Kellums. In about 3.5 minutes on our show, state foresters say this year's extreme weather is taking an unusual toll on certain Ozark trees, scorching healthy summer leaves. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has that story just ahead. Arkansas's number of people hospitalized because of COVID-19 continues to decrease slowly, with 16 fewer hospital beds dedicated to the virus patients compared to this time yesterday. Yesterday's report from the Arkansas Department of Health includes 1,544 newly diagnosed cases and an additional 36 fatal cases counted. Nearly 6,800 doses of vaccine were administered to Arkansans on Tuesday. New data shows Arkansas is among the top states when it comes to incarceration. The study was released by the Prison Policy Initiative, a research group focused on issues related to mass incarceration. The study ranks states and countries in terms of the percentage of people in prisons. The group's Wanda Bertram says the initiative compares states' incarceration rates with Arkansas ranking near the top.
You know, other countries that you think of as top incarcerators, we top them all. And this report is one that we do every couple of years just to break down how states compare. And this year we found that Arkansas is incarcerating the fifth most people per capita of any U.S. state. So it's number 5.
The study also shows 24 states, if evaluated as countries, that would have higher incarceration rates than any other country in the world.
I think that this figure should remind people that even though we think incarceration is the best solution to a lot of social problems, we are using it way more than other countries, including our peer countries over in Europe, thinking about other liberal democracies. We're really off the charts compared to the rest of the planet.
There are high crime rates in Arkansas, but the study suggests mass incarceration does not help reduce crime. Talk Business and Politics reports Walmart is teaming up with Ford and the tech firm Argo AI to expand use of autonomous vehicles in Austin, Miami, and Washington, D.C. Talk Business reports the initial service of final mile deliveries in the three cities will be for customers in defined areas, and there are plans to expand. The retailer has already launched similar experiments in Bentonville and Metairie, Louisiana. Meanwhile, Sam's Club is entering into the world of name, image, and likeness licensing opportunities for college athletes. The retailer announced it plans to pay 10 athletes across divisions and across sports $10,000 each. Each athlete's first name is a version of Sam. 4 athletes have signed contracts with Sam so far, including Samira Bradwell, a volleyball player at Central Florida, and Samantha Sotke, a UCLA gymnast. The retailer is asking similarly named college athletes to apply if interested for the remaining contracts through the social media platform TikTok. And Startup Junkie will offer free COVID-19 vaccinations tomorrow afternoon. Shots are free. No personal identification will be required. You can register in advance by searching for Startup Junkie Vaccine Clinic at Eventbrite.com. This is Ozarks at Large. State foresters say extreme weather this year, a 2-week-long winter vortex, heavy spring rains, high summer heat and drought, is scorching certain hardwoods. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
Forest Specialist Chandler Barton with the Arkansas Department of Agriculture Forestry Division says after several rounds of extreme weather this year, certain hardwood trees in Arkansas began to show stress this summer.
So this year was an exceptional year. Yeah, the late freezes, that heavy snowfall we got in February, and then the freezes we had in April may have been the starting point to where we are getting at today. So when all of that really good growing condition, the mild temperatures in the spring, the frequent rainfall adds to a very effective growing season. And then by the time you get to summer and you get extremely hot and dry conditions, trees are losing a lot of water. So that's a process known as transpiration. So because they're doing this and they're doing this so extremely rapidly that trees may have a tough time dealing with other issues like soil health or pathogens in the foliage. So what you might see is a scorching.
This is the sound of a mature summer post-oak leaf cluster, a tree stem covered with prematurely dead leaves. They show a strange faded green pallor and tensile strength compared to autumn leaves. They are, Barton says, an example of scorched leaves, a product of overnight flagging, because the scorched leaf clusters can show up virtually overnight in both urban and rural forests.
If you're seeing something that we are terming overnight flagging, and that is a rapid turning from green to brown, there may be some colors in between, like reds and orange, but it should turn brown very rapidly. So that is the foliage dying, not necessarily the tree dying.
The condition doesn't actually occur overnight, Barton says, but is the result of months, maybe years of stress. Here in Arkansas, certain hardwoods are showing evidence of scorched leaves.
So early on when we were witnessing this, the tree species post oaks or some of the red oak species we were finding to be most effective.
Leaves serve a critical function, Barton says, in the life of a tree.
Late summer, trees are moving all of the food that is produced by the leaves, all the chlorophyll using light to produce energy. They're moving that down from the tree down into the root system. So all is not lost. As long as the trunk and the branches and the root system are still functioning, all that energy that was created throughout the year by the leaves is being moved down to the roots.
Barton suggests Arkansans with trees that appear to be suffering with leaf scorch should consult an expert.
Yeah, there are certain techniques to help trees recover if in the right setting. So you're going to want to seek out first and foremost a certified arborist. Those are the highest expertise in arboriculture. They're going to know what sort of techniques can improve the health of a tree. But some experienced tree care professionals may have that knowledge as well. So those are the questions you need to ask when you're talking to a professional is, you know, are you a certified arborist? What can you do to help this tree recover? Simply don't take that cutting a tree down as the solution if it's alive.
Tree owners, he says, should prune and possibly irrigate and mulch trees in distress.
An arborist will recommend some pruning techniques to reduce the crown so that it has healthy branches remaining. Then they'll recommend some sort of mulching techniques as well as aeration and fertilization. Fertilization should be done after getting a soil test to know which sort of deficiencies your soil has.
Barton tracks and documents distressed forests in Arkansas for incidents of oak decline.
Usually when we talk about an oak decline event, we're indicating a large amount of trees suffering from some affliction that causes them to die. I've yet to see that in a grand scale in Arkansas. Oak decline events, though, are summarized by multiple stress factors. And we are kind of seeing that now, especially with post oak. I've seen a lot of post oak in southern Arkansas that you can't put your finger on any one cause. So probably the best thing to explain what's going on is a oak decline event, which is a combination of factors. And the things that we notice most are the diseases. So those would be contributing factors to death. It could be foliar, it could be root rot. Another thing that's characteristic of declines is it has to be incited by something. So that could be the weather patterns we saw this year.
Triggered by high levels of human-induced carbon emissions, climate scientists say over the last century, the consequence is global temperatures are rising and oceans are warming, destabilizing atmospheric jet streams, leading to extreme weather, forcing forests to adapt.
You will expect species composition to change in our state. So those that are more adapted to a hot southerly climate may do well. Those are maybe in their lower range of their distribution, might find it hard to exist in Arkansas in the decades or hundreds of years later from now. But yeah, you will start to see the range of certain species change dramatically due to climate change.
Which, left unabated, will likely accelerate oak decline in Arkansas. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
More than 2,200 new cases of COVID-19 are included in this morning's report from the Oklahoma State Department of Health. Oklahoma's number of fatal cases of the virus has increased by nearly 70 cases in the last 24 hours, meaning newly confirmed deaths that did not necessarily occur in the past 24 hours. Just more than 9,700 Oklahomans have died from the disease. The University of Arkansas Department of Theater is awarding the 2021 Kernodle New Play winner. Gina Stevenson is being honored for her work, Book of Esther. The prize, named for U of A faculty member George Kernodle, was selected from more than 150 submissions from playwrights from across the country. The selection is made by students and faculty members in the University of Arkansas Theater Department. The winning script is about a new generation of women who are pushing the boundaries within the confines of an ultra-Orthodox Jewish community. The titular character enters a poetry contest, then begins to ask bigger questions about life. The award carries a cash prize, the possibility of further development of the script, and possible guest artist mentorships to further work with the graduate students at the University of Arkansas. Gina Stevenson's previous works have been produced across the country. She has an MFA in playwriting from Columbia University.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In small towns and big cities throughout our country, thousands of people are starting over. They're refugees who have made it out of Afghanistan. We'll head to Los Angeles to check in on efforts to welcome Afghan refugees. That's next time on Here and Now.
Here and Now, this afternoon at 1 on KUAF.
The Hillberry Harvest Moon Music and Camping Festival is October 7th through the 10th at The Farm in Eureka Springs, and KUAF is giving you the chance to win tickets. Hillberry welcomes Railroad Earth, Sam Bush Band, the infamous String Dusters, and more. Registration and additional information available at KUAF.com. KUAF is supported by Little Wing Productions, presenting Robert Earl Keen at the Auditorium in Eureka Springs this Saturday, September 18th at 7:30 p.m. A limited number of reserved tickets are still available at theauditorium.org.
Still to come on today's show, last week, Leah Uribe gave flutes her attention in Sound Perimeter. This week, saxophones get the spotlight. That's ahead. And also ahead on this Thursday show, and also music, Timothy Dennis has a checklist of live music you might be interested in. Shows and concerts spread across Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley. Timothy is with us in about 10 minutes. Leah Uribe's latest Sound Perimeter in about 25 minutes on Ozarks at Large. And don't forget, if you miss anything you wanted to hear on Ozarks at Large, you can go to ozarksatlarge.com, find past individual features as well as complete shows. And you can listen on your schedule if you're a subscriber to our free daily Ozarks at Large podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal report. I'm Paul Gatling. The latest issue of the Business Journal is out this week. On the cover, we've got a story on an aviation-related initiative based at Thaden Field in Bentonville and becoming an increasingly significant part of the state's overall tourism profile. The idea, spearheaded by Tom and Stuart Walton's Runway Group, is called Fly Oz. It connects recreational aviators to various outdoor recreation activities through a network of more than 60 airstrips. The idea is becoming so popular that among backcountry aviators, Northwest Arkansas is becoming an equivalent to how well-known cycling and mountain biking is around the region. Chad Cox, who is Runway Group's aviation director, gives us the scoop on Fly Oz. You can find that story online now at nwabusinessjournal.com. When we come back, we've got an interview with Kelly Kraut of Lowell. She announced her candidacy last week to be the next Arkansas Lieutenant Governor. That is coming up after the break on today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by The Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. ArkansasStateChamber.com. Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For more than 70 years, Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield has used its knowledge and compassion to create healthcare solutions for individuals and businesses. More information at ArkansasBlueCross.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. First Security, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Kelly Kraut of Lowell said last week she would vie for the Democratic nomination for Arkansas Lieutenant Governor. Kraut is a mother of seven children and a children's book author. She said she's entering the race to advocate for families and kids. Kraut was beaten by Kendon Underwood for a state house seat last year. So far, she's the only announced Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor. However, five Republican candidates have announced for the job. They include Chris Beckett, Dr. Greg Bledsoe, the state surgeon general, Senator Jason Rapert, Doyle Webb, who's the former chairman of the Republican Party of Arkansas, and Washington County Judge Joseph Wood. Roby Brock spoke with Kraut recently to discuss her interest in the job.
What has motivated you to get into this race for lieutenant governor?
Well, Arkansas deserves leaders who are willing to do the right thing. And I've got a lot of experience as a foster mom. And when I was working within that system, helping biological families, helping teens navigate the system, I just saw so many holes in so many areas where we could use better advocates. And I just want to be able to be a megaphone to help people navigate these systems while also trying to fix them.
Well, you have mentioned there that you've done a lot of work in the foster system. There have been some attempts at improvements in the foster system in terms of policy over the last couple of years from the legislature, from Governor Asa Hutchinson. Do you think that system has improved from where it was?
Absolutely. I think they're always improving, and I think that they are doing the best they can with what they've got. They just need more resources, and I would love to see more work on the prevention side before kids even land in the foster care system. And then, of course, we just need more foster families. There's a massive amount of kids in care in Arkansas and just not enough homes to care for them. So that's just one more thing I can talk about.
Well, let's go down that path a little bit there. What would be a way to recruit more families into the foster care system?
For my husband and I, it was simply a matter of not being aware of the need. And that may sound really obvious, but there are a lot of folks that don't realize how many kids are in foster care. There are kids in care at your children's school, maybe in your kid's class. It's a lot more prevalent than people realize. And if you're not exposed to it on the daily, you just may not know. So when we realized, whoa, there's that many kids and not enough homes, we absolutely can step up and fill this need.
Is that going to encourage more people, though, to become foster parents? Just the awareness, or are there other things that have to kind of be in place to encourage more fostering?
I think it is a big part of it, honestly, because the more people you know personally that are fostering, the more you can say, oh, I know Kelly, and she's just like me, and we go to soccer practice together, and she's managing this, and if she can manage this, I can manage it. I think it can be a really overwhelming thing for people to consider doing, but when they have a personal connection, and they maybe even see those kids out and about, it sort of takes the intimidation out of it. So I actually feel like foster families are the biggest recruitment factor for the system.
All right. You mentioned, too, prevention before kids even get to the point where they need to be in foster homes is something else that you would advocate for. What would be some things on the prevention side that you think the state's not doing now or could do a better job of now?
Again, just awareness of services that are available to these families. I won't say every time, I'm not going to oversimplify it, but so often poverty is the root cause of why kids end up in foster care. Now, no kid should ever be taken for poverty alone, but those issues tend to snowball and then land parents in kind of desperate situations that end up possibly getting their children removed. And so if we can better support families on the front side so that they maybe don't have to leave kids unattended or they have addiction services or mental health services, I think there's a ton of work to be done on the prevention side.
I would think that there are other issues that are also important for you to champion as a candidate for lieutenant governor. What else do you want to talk about in this race? What are going to be some other issues that you feel like are going to be defining issues for your candidacy?
Absolutely. Well, that is a really huge one. Is the foster care system is something I'm super passionate about. And kind of entwined with that is helping people navigate the legal system. We worked with a lot of teenagers who had gotten into minor legal trouble, and then trying to get out of that was just a nightmare, sort of trying to figure out, okay, do we deal with this fine and fee first, or do we try to reinstate your license, but there's a warrant? And so what, just trying to navigate those systems and make it simpler, because people get trapped under these fines and fees and then end up back in the desperate situations that put them there in the first place. It's too overwhelming, even with an advocate helping you. So I really just want to shine light on some of these things and have a megaphone for here's how we can make this a more efficient system.
There are a number of GOP candidates in the lieutenant governor's race already. I think 5 by my count today. Who knows how many more may get in. What are you going to offer that's different?
I think everything about my campaign will be different than anything that's being offered on the GOP side. I like to campaign in a real creative and fun way. I expect that people look at it and say, that's different. What's going on here? And see, I like to educate through my platform and just bring awareness to the issues in a digestible, condensed way. So I'm not going to drone on and on about issues. You're going to get most of your information from me in 60-second clips.
Do you think that you are representative of the majority of Arkansans in Arkansas? We are in a pretty Republican red state right now. You ran for state rep in 2020. You're familiar with what the election climate is like out there. What do you think is going to be different about a statewide race run?
Well, I do think I'm representative of the area that I live in, and I feel like our government needs to be representative of who it is serving. I'm a parent. I know a ton of parents who are trying to raise their kids in this environment, and I think that I could be a voice of reason in that environment.
I would think if I'm a GOP candidate, I could say the same thing about my candidacy. I might have kids. I might be representative of the people that I talk to. So why would you offer something that's different than what those Republican candidates are offering?
Sure, that's fair. There are a lot of parents on the other side. My platform is going to be a lot more inclusive of all of these families, all different types of family types, all types of children. So I think you are going to get a little different vibe from my campaign.
That is Kelly Kraut of Lowell. She is a Democrat, the only Democrat so far, running for Arkansas Lieutenant Governor. In other news this week, a leadership change quietly took place last month at Springdale-based Waco Title Company. CEO Patrick Curry resigned after nearly 16 years with the business. Sarah Heck was appointed as the new CEO. She spent the previous 8 years working for Arvest Bank. And national nonprofit Junior Achievement USA has appointed Dr. Adam Arroyos of Fayetteville to its board of directors. Arroyos is the CEO of professional development firm Serve to Perform, and he is the first business leader from Arkansas to serve on Junior Achievement's National Board of Directors since it was founded in 1919. For those stories and more, visit us at nwabusinessjournal.com, where you can follow our reporting each and every day. I'm Paul Gatling, and that's the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Until next time, thanks for listening.
This is Ozarks at Large. With me is Timothy Dennis. And when we get together on Thursdays, we talk about live music that you have a chance to see. Welcome back, Timothy.
Thank you, Kyle. Tonight, at the Walmart Museum in Bentonville, someone that you've actually had the opportunity to interview in the past year, Mariachi yes. Amistad, is going to be at the Walmart Museum.
Oh, my. That'll be so much fun.
That show, it's part of the Live at the Five and Dime series. That gets underway at 5 o'clock this evening. Again, that's outside the Walmart Museum on the square in Bentonville. Randy Rogers' band is going to be at George's Majestic Lounge tonight.
Sailors sail, cowboys ride, lovers love when they get the chance. Take it slow, turn down the light, soft and low. Let the shadows dance. Wave it down.
Tickets for that show are $25. That show gets underway at 8:30 tonight. Again, that's at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Okay, tomorrow night, a lot of options. We're not going to cover them all, but we will have the more complete list at our website, ozarksatlarge.com. Let's start with Prairie Street Live, they're going to have a tribute show to Fleetwood Mac. They're calling Deepwood Mac.
I like that.
Tickets for that show are $15. That gets underway at 5 o'clock tomorrow night. Again, that's at Prairie Street Live in Fayetteville. Another tribute act happening up in Bentonville, Meteor Guitar Gallery is going to have City Girls on stage. They call themselves a tribute to the Eagles and Simply Seeger.
Okay.
Tickets for that show are $15. That gets underway at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening at Meteor Guitar Gallery in Bentonville. Over in Rogers, Rail Yard Live is going to have the Mixtapes on stage.
They're a tribute to everybody.
To everybody. They don't discriminate.
That's right.
That show at Rail Yard Live, Butterfield Stage in downtown Rogers, gets underway at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Over in Eureka Springs, some original music from Sky Pollard will be on feature at the Gravel Bar.
Some days are dark, rainy and gray, like even the sun had lost its shine. I got mountains of trouble and a river of pain.
That show at the Gravel Bar gets underway at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. Again, that's in Eureka Springs. Down in Fort Smith, Temple Live is going to have David Ramirez on stage.
You don't know what we'll do. Maybe some days you wish you could take it all back. There's gonna be days when the love is so thin. Days are a game.
Tickets for that show start at $18. That gets underway at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Again, that's at Temple Live in Fort Smith. Okay, let's move on to Saturday. Back in Fayetteville, George's Majestic Lounge is going to have a big show featuring a lot of local bands, including The Juice, Witch Sister, Drawing Blanks, The Grasshopper Unit, and Foggy Bobcat.
Oh, man, you go. Before you're a shadow of your former self, living through your former heaven. You wanna break away, but they're jokes, the smoke. You choke and you swallow. Nights and days, spent in your days.
That is actually a free show that'll get underway at 8 o'clock Saturday evening at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Happening elsewhere in downtown Fayetteville Saturday evening, Ashton Barbary is going to be on stage at Kingfish.
You said you loved me and you thought we'd last, but I guess we might have taken it too fast. And now we're chasing in circles and don't know what to do. I guess I'll have to find someone to replace you.
That show gets underway at 9 o'clock Saturday evening. Again, that is at Kingfish in Fayetteville. One more show happening in Fayetteville evening that you should be aware of. It's part of the collaboration between Music Moves and Crystal Bridges Mobile Art Lab. They're having what they're calling A Song in the Night, and they're going to feature Belva Ross and O.C. Fisher singing gospel songs.
Ooh.
That is going to be...
I'm excited about that, in case you couldn't tell. I'm excited about that.
Well, you're
that.
Always excited about O.C. Fisher. I mean, she's amazing. They're doing this in part of a celebration of National Gospel Music Heritage Month, and that's going to take place at the St. James Baptist Church Community Food Pantry on Willow Street. That'll get underway at 5 o'clock Saturday evening. Again, that's on Willow Street at St. James Baptist Church's Food Pantry, and that's Saturday night. Okay, getting out of Fayetteville Saturday night. The Walmart Amp in Rogers is going to have Counting Crows on stage.
I've heard of them.
So come dance the silence down through the morning. Sha la 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 la, yeah.
Tickets for that show start at $35. That gets underway at 7 o'clock Saturday evening at the Walmart Amp in Rogers.
And I do believe that's one of the shows that has the artists have asked for COVID protocols. That
is correct. Everyone who's attending is required to show printed proof of their vaccination. Moving on, Eureka Springs Saturday night, the Gravel Bar is going to have Dominic B. Roy on stage.
Yep.
That show gets underway at 7 o'clock Saturday evening at the Gravel Bar in Eureka Springs. Another show happening in Eureka Springs Saturday evening, a guy by the name of Robert Earl Keane is going to be on stage at The Odd.
to midnight. Brand new pack of cigs, a fresh one hanging from her lips, a beer between her legs. She'd ride down to the river and meet with all her friends. The road goes on forever and the party never ends.
That's right, that's already happening.
It is already happening.
That's exciting.
I saw him a couple years ago whenever he was one of the headliners at Peacemaker, and he still puts on a great show.
Yeah.
Tickets for that show start at $39. That'll get underway at 7:30 Saturday evening. Again, that's the Odd in Eureka Springs. Then down in Fort Smith, Majestic is going to have the Velcro Pygmies on stage. Tickets are $15 in advance, $20 day of. That is starting at 7 o'clock Saturday evening at Majestic in Fort Smith. Okay, Sunday. Fayetteville Public Library is going to have David Starr on stage as part of the Mountain Street Stage Series.
I really got to use my imagination. Got to make the best.
David, who now lives in Colorado but grew up in Fayetteville.
That show, being at Fayetteville Public Library, will be free. It gets underway at 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Again, that's at the Fayetteville Public Library.
Fingers crossed, we'll hear just a little bit from him on tomorrow's show.
Ooh.
We're working out a possible quick phone interview with him, and so hopefully we'll have just a little bit from him tomorrow.
Good deal. Also happening Sunday, George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville is going to have the Mountain Goats, kind of a solo show.
My broken house behind me and good things ahead. A girl named Kathy wants a little of my time. Six cylinders underneath the hood, crashing and kicking. Ah, listen to the engine whine. I am gonna make it through this year.
There are a few tickets left, so if you want to go, I would suggest you probably look into that soon. Tickets do start at $20. That gets underway 8:30 p.m. Sunday evening at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Free music happening up at the Momentary Sunday evening. They're going to have a show featuring Moonsong and the band Modeling. That show, it's a free show again. It's in the Momentary Courtyard, and that gets underway at 5 o'clock Sunday evening in Bentonville. And that'll take care of us for a few days.
All right. Timothy Dennis joins us almost every Thursday to give us live music ideas. Timothy, thank you.
Thank you, Kyle.
Since its debut 50 years ago, All Things Considered has changed a lot, from the hosts, the reporters, the equipment used, and even the audience. However, there's one thing that remains the same. Every afternoon, you get 3 hours of the biggest stories of the day, analysis, thoughtful commentaries, touching stories, arts and life, music and entertainment. Oh, and one more thing is the same. KUAF is only able to bring you All Things Considered because of your support. Give now, become a supporting listener. Go to supportkuaf.com. Thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large. With me via Zoom is Courtney Lanning, a film critic for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Courtney, welcome back to the show. We're going to talk about a movie you wanted to review.
That's right. For once in what seems like forever, I told you a movie that I was going to review last week, and here we are today ready to talk about it instead of a swap out.
It's called Cop Shop. I saw an ad for it, and I was quite intrigued. And you and I have used a term in the past that we might want to explain for some people who might not be familiar. It looks like a grindhouse movie. That's one that comes out of what, the 1960s and 70s, some low-budget, often high-concept, crime-oriented films?
So when I was writing my review, I looked it up, and grindhouse, the whole exploitive genre, actually goes back to the 1920s.
Oh, my.
But, you're right. When you think of it these days, you think of really bloody or gruesome films that were low budget from the 60s and 70s, you know, things that really sprang up after the, was it the Motion Picture Association of America, really laxed censorship of movies and things. And these tiny cinemas, they would show these movies and, you know, charge a tiny bit of money for them and people would go watch them. And they, some of them get real cult followings.
Films that inspired Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez. So if you think Pulp Fiction is a big tip of the hat to grindhouse films.
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly what Cop Shop promises. When you watch the trailer, you look at the poster, you're promised a retro grindhouse vibe, and it delivers on that. It's bloody, it's gritty, and just about everybody you see on camera is guilty of something.
Right. That's the movie I think of. Like, nobody is really an angel in Cop Shop, I'm guessing.
No, hardly anybody at all. And it's, you know, it's full of these cheesy lines, like, he was one day ahead of the devil. Like, it's pulp. That's exactly what you get in these movies.
So I'm intrigued, but I'm also worried that there's probably a lot of blood and gore.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. It's, it is very, very bloody. The concept is a con man with people after him gets himself thrown into a small rural jail in Nevada, hoping that that will keep him protected because, you know, you're in jail. No one's going to be able to get to you. Well, an assassin who's played by Gerard Butler.
An assassin? Really? A movie about an assassin?
A movie about an assassin, Kyle, because that's our rapport now, apparently. So Gerard Butler plays this assassin named Bob, and he gets himself thrown into the jail as well. So this con man who thought he was going to be safe is now just one cell away from a man who's been hired to kill him. And then the movie just devolves from there.
Worth our time?
You know, I'm going to say this is a take it or leave it movie. And while we've been talking its praises, the first two thirds are good. I'm watching this and I'm thinking this is cooler and it's more slick than it has any right to be. Great performances from all the leads, but unfortunately the ending kind of unravels. It goes on for way too long. You know, it devolves into a lot of your standard action movie cliches, a lot of death fake outs, guns, unlimited ammo. The ending is just kind of a mess. And for some reason, the movie decided to take a punch at transgender people. I don't know what that was about or why it was included in a bit of dialogue, but it's unnecessary. So there's just no need for that kind of awful writing in 2021, the year of our Lord.
So there's another movie coming out with 91-year-old Clint Eastwood.
Yes, it is called Cry Macho. And this is one that's on HBO Max and in theaters. And, you know, it's just kind of stunning to think about Clint Eastwood still making movies at 91. But Dick Van Dyke was still doing movies with the new Mary Poppins, and he was, what, 95?
Next week, you've got a movie that you hope to review that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, so it's called The Eyes of Tammy Faye, and it's, of course, about the infamous fraudster televangelist Jim Baker and, of course, his wife, Tammy Faye Baker.
All right, so that'll hopefully be what we talk about next week. Courtney Lanning's full review of Cop Shop can be found in Friday's Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Courtney, as always, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Lia Uribe, Associate Professor at the University of Arkansas Music Department, expanding our musical boundaries with Sound Perimeter. We open Sound Perimeter today with our own University of Arkansas Music Department saxophone professor, Dr. Eric Troiano, in an exciting performance of Black Mary, a piece written in 2018 by composer Shelley Washington. In the words of the composer, the inspiration of this piece was Mary Fields, also known as Black Mary and most famously Stagecoach Mary, a strong, powerful, and multifaceted Black woman who had an unconventional path. Former slave corn in Tennessee, who liked to smoke cigars, curse, and fight, carried two loaded guns, and had a foul reputation for a woman with the temperament of a grizzly bear. She was the only woman allowed to drink publicly in the local saloons, a respected public figure who fearlessly created her own path from liberated slave to celebrated local heroine. It was Black Mary, a piece by American composer born in 1991, Shelley Washington, performed by Eric Troiano in the baritone saxophone. Eric Troiano joined the faculty at the University of Arkansas in the fall of 2016. He maintains an active teaching and performing career as a soloist and chamber musician. Dr. Troiano is an advocate of new music. He has helped expand the saxophone repertoire through commissioning and arranging existing pieces. He'll be performing a faculty recital this coming Tuesday, September 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall. One of the pieces to be performed in Troiano's recital is his own arrangement of Slank by also American composer Libby Larsen. Slank is a one-movement work in three sections with a title that refers to the use of both jazz and boogie slank and 20th century new music slank throughout the whole composition. Let us listen to an excerpt of this piece in its original version for clarinet, violin, and piano. Thank you.
Bibi Larsen's piece for clarinet, violin, and piano, written in 1994, performed by Strata Trio, from a 2019 live performance. September 15 to October 15 is Hispanic Heritage Month in the United States, a month to celebrate the histories, cultures, and contributions of American citizens whose ancestors came from Spain, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Central and South America, and really all Latin American people and traditions. We are closing Sound Perimeter today with a piece I would love to hear Dr. Troiano perform soon, Mi Buenaventura, by Colombian composer Petronio Álvarez. This is a version of the traditional currulao interpreted by an amazing Colombian saxophonist and friend of many years, Antonio Arnedo, joined by Satoshi Takeishi, Ben Monder, and Jairo Moreno from their 2015 album Travesía. Hope to see you at Eric Troiano's recital. You'll find more information in our show notes, and hope you all join celebrations this month to uplift, include, and honor our fellow Hispanic brothers and sisters. This is Lia Uribe, Associate Professor at the University of Arkansas Music Department, expanding our musical boundaries with Sound Perimeter. See you soon.
Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, a holistic approach to solving long-term issues with food insecurity in the region and the state.
The goal of communities of practice is really to create kind of lasting positive change that's really not possible without the wisdom of the whole group. It's about them focusing on collaboration and coordination to build on the strengths that they're seeing in their practices, but also to find solutions to kind of challenging problems that maybe require a lot of collective brain power and practice power.
The University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences is putting together a community of practice to look at food insecurity from many different experiences and many different angles. What that means for Northwest Arkansas and what the next steps are, tomorrow on Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 p.m. on KUAF and streaming on the free updated KUAF app.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman. Today, we're joined again with Caleb Talley. He's with the Startup Junkie Foundation. Caleb, always nice to speak with you.
Thank you for having me, Pete.
We're talking to you today because y'all are doing something really cool tomorrow. Y'all are hosting a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic. Let's get right into what people need to know. What's going to be taking place tomorrow? That's Friday, September 17th.
Absolutely. So tomorrow from noon to 4 p.m., we'll be hosting a vaccine clinic here at our office on the Fayetteville Square at the Pryor Center on the second floor. The vaccine clinic will be operated by the community clinic out of Springdale. As many will know, tomorrow is when we were going to have our annual startup crawl event, given the surge of COVID-19 cases in Arkansas and in our region. We decided to postpone that to the spring and instead have a vaccine clinic. So you can come out and get vaccinated and then come party with us in the spring.
That's tomorrow, Friday, noon until 4 p.m. It's free to the public. Do people need to bring IDs? What's going on with that?
Clinic is 100% free. You do not need ID. You do not need any form of identification or really don't have to bring anything at all. Just show up. I'm ready to get your vaccine. But we do ask that people register just so that we can account for how many vaccines need to be made available tomorrow, just so that we don't waste any and so that we have plenty for everybody that would like one.
And Caleb, for people get more, what's that website info one more time?
And that's startupjunkie.org, and that's junkie with an I-E.
Of course, most, I would think, of our listeners know Startup Junkie and y'all's role, but remind us the role you do play within our community.
Absolutely. So we are a mission-driven organization that exists to serve innovators, entrepreneurs, and small business owners. We largely do that through no-cost consulting to anybody with an idea all the way up until a fully operating business. We host a number of events throughout the year and pretty much every week where we give opportunity to provide, you know, education, opportunities for connection and more to our entrepreneurial community.
Caleb Talley with Startup Junkie Foundation. We'll be talking to you in the spring, hopefully, when we'll have that startup crawl maybe take place.
Absolutely. I'll have to circle back when we have that date nailed down, but everybody come out and get vaccinated if you have not yet, and that way we can all party together in the spring safe and healthy.
Caleb, thanks so much for letting us know about this free COVID-19 vaccine clinic taking place Friday.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
The Community Spotlight and KUAF, Local Matters.
This is KUAF 91.3, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Deer. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF, and KUAF is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. These daily shows don't come together without a team behind them. Timothy Dennis produced today's show. Contributors included Jacqueline Froelich, Timothy Dennis, Leah Uribe, Courtney Lanning, and Paul Gatling. Timothy also produced today's Sound Perimeter, today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal report produced by Stephanie Brock. The Community Spotlight is hosted and produced by Pete Hartman. He puts it together in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio at KUAF. Further material for today's show came from our friends at KUAR Public Radio for Little Rock and Central Arkansas. Our theme is titled The First Hurrah. It is written and performed by Daryl Sean. Don't forget, during our fall on-air fundraiser in about a week and a half, we're not offering coffee mugs, CDs, or T-shirts as thank you gifts. Instead, we're partnering with Penguin Ed's Barbecue to provide meals to ICU and emergency room workers in hospitals across the listening area. Every afternoon of our fundraiser from 3 to 7 and all day Saturday, September 25th, we're asking you to support the public radio programming you rely on every day. And when we receive 30 gifts of $30 or more, we're going to be able to provide an area hospital with a Penguin Ed's gift card that will feed 50 nurses, doctors, administrators, janitorial staff, and more. The on-air fundraiser begins Friday, September 24th. But this show is ending right now. From the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio at the Carver Center for Public Radio, I'm Kyle Kellums. Take care of yourself. We'll talk again tomorrow.